Punk's do-it-yourself aesthetic caused an explosion of local music scenes at the end of the 70s. Austin, which had always been a hotbed of musical activity, was no exception. And this week in Austin, the largest music conference in the country, South by Southwest, is underway. Rock historian Ed Ward is going to revisit the Austin of the late 70s.
In the late summer of 1979, I was asked to interview for a job as the rock critic at Austin, Texas daily newspaper, The American Statesman. My friend Joe Nick Potosky had alerted me to the job and picked me up at the airport when I arrived. Before I'd even settled down in the front seat, he slammed a cassette into his player. His girlfriend Chris was playing in a band with the vocalist who called himself Joe King Carrasco, but who was really Joe Teutsch from Dumas, Texas. He'd recorded Mezcal Road with a band he called El Molino, but now he had a more stable band of Austinites with Chris on keyboards. I told Joe Nick I'd love to hear them, and he assured me I would. First, though, there was the matter of getting the job, which I did, and then I had to move to Texas. The paper lost no time putting me to work, and on Halloween, I went to Palmer Auditorium to review my first show, The Police, with an awful band called Fashion, and, as per their contract, a local band.
There's something artificial about the style if you smile, the face of a woman but the screams of a child. I see you every night in a different club. There's something very wrong about the way that you love me. I'm not the kind of guy who cares about those things.
Skunks were one of Austin's first punk bands, although in retrospect they were really more of a hard rock band. And I could see they had a following, since there was a girl dressed up in a skunk suit dancing while they played. But they were only part of the scene swirling around Raoul's, a beer bar near the University of Texas campus where, presided over by the gentle but firm hand of Joseph Gonzalez, weird bands and weird audiences were gathering, despite harassment from frat boys and other creeps. Raoul's had been going for over a year by the time I got there, and had already made headlines in Austin when the Huns, another legendary early punk band, had caused a riot. The police had come in response to a noise complaint, and the Huns' singer, Phil Tolstead, kissed the cop who went on stage to announce the place closed. A number of people, including the editor of the campus newspaper, wound up in jail, and punk had officially arrived in Austin. The Skunks were a trio, led by bassist Jesse Sublett, with a wonderfully aggressive guitarist John D. Graham, and Billy Blackman on drums. Because of their mainstream appeal, though, and the fact that the local rock station played them, they were deemed uncool by many.
Thank you.
then there was Joe King Carrasco and the Crowns, who appealed to the old-time Austin crowd that loved Doug's song. They were melodic, catchy, and visual. Joe had learned the old blues trick of having a 20-foot cord on his guitar and would run through the audience and sometimes out of the club while he was playing. After an early single sponsored by Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, the band signed to Stiff Records in London and went on one of the notorious Stiff tours. But the most intriguing band was one without any ties to Texas past, it seemed. They called themselves Standing Waves. Blessed or cursed with three songwriters, they were well-versed in bands like XTC and Talking Heads, yet came out of it with something that was their own. They were the intellectuals' favorites, the anti-skunks, and a furious war of words went on between the two camps. But Austin's a funny place, as I would learn. Excellent bands arise there all the time, but they rarely translate local success to anything more than regional fame. Austin was visited by the record companies in the new wave signing frenzy of the late 70s, but only a mediocrity called D-Day got to make one long-forgotten album. One by one, the early bands disappeared. The Huns, Terminal Mind, The Next, and then the Survivors did too. Jesse Sublett tried another lineup with the Skunks and then chose the literary life, which he still pursues. Standing Waves also regrouped and moved to New York, but that didn't last long, and today the ex-members run a folk art gallery, present the news on San Antonio television, and work in a bookstore, among other things. Joe King Carrasco became a fraternity and spring break favorite, and has continued with many changes of band members. Joe, Nick, and Chris married, and so did Jesse and Lois, the girl in the skunk suit, and the Austin music scene entered the 80s.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer this week is Roberta Shurrock. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.
I want to play like children, all I want to do is play. I want to play like children, but now becomes yesterday. I want to play like movies, I want to play like TV. I want to play like movies, I want you to play with me.